It's Cap and Haw.
With the second pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota.
Tons of rumors before the draft with Tennessee and Mariota and Cutler. How active were you in that last hour leading up? Were you aggressively making those calls?
You know, really, in the days and even the hours leading into the draft, there are so many phone calls, guys. I mean, it's in my first year doing it. As a GM, it's even more than I realize. There's phone calls, and I think teams know with us being a new staff, new GM, new head coach, people call about a lot of our players. We call about other players. That's going on way more than you ever realize.
Ryan Pace, it sounds like he would be good soothing voice to read a children's book. I don't know about that, JD. I think
the little engine that could struggle to get up the mighty hill.
And Hansel and Gretel were down here. And good question, fair question. Jeff Dickerson asked it. I don't know how much went into the whole Marcus Mariota, Titans, Jay Cutler thing. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. Back talking draft. We heard from Ryan Pace. That was at Hallis Hall last night. I was at the Auditorium Theater.
Having done that,
the commissioner and everybody else.
Have you ever covered a draft in New York?
No.
Okay, so you've usually been at Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
Now that you've had that perspective at Hallis Hall and the perspective down at the Auditorium Theater, if I said you can cover it either way, which way would you prefer?
Oh, well, I think it depends on what your role is or what your task is. Last night, the place
David Hall, the columnist.
Yeah, well, last night it was much better to be at the Auditorium Theater for Kevin White, because you got the chance to talk to him. You got a chance to observe him firsthand. You got a chance to interact. It was different that you would not have gotten that at Hallis Hall. At Hallis Hall, you got a chance to see Ryan Pace. To me, the story last night was very much the same. Ryan Pace's first draft, Kevin White's the star of the story, the future star. So you can't go wrong picking either way. I think that I was at the right place last night. I think that you wanted to be where Kevin White was, and just, from his fashion choice to his personality.
I thought he looked good.
He looked good. He sounded good. He backed it up. He's going to be fun to cover. So that was the right spot to be.
All right, 312-235-2525. Corey, well, before we get to Corey, yesterday you were with me on Sports Talk Live with Dan Pompey and Adam Jones. Matt Forte and I had a chance to chat. I was critical of Matt. You were critical of Matt. Rick Morrissey had a column that was dedicated to being critical of Matt. For some reason, I'm the only one he called on Twitter, and he wanted to explain himself, have a dialogue. He was none too pleased with me. I said, great. I ran back to the station and sat down and did a talk back with him. He was at Grant Park. This is what some of that sounded like.
Just wondering why you love to trash me all the time, like,
no,
no matter what.
Actually,
like, you can't give me one good compliment.
Actually, if you had followed me or ever read me or listened to me, I've been very complimentary to you throughout the years. I actually think you're an outstanding player.
I don't know about that, but you've always, are you a journalist?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, as a journalist, I don't expect a guy like you to have journalistic integrity and, not report, half-truths or rumors and stuff like that, until you know the full truth.
Okay, so that's the start of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
We went on and debated it, and then here's where I thought he really came off looking poorly.
Do you think 5 years from now, when your career is done and you're relaxing at home, that you will look back and go, I should have gone to that luncheon?
No, I don't regret anything I've done. The only thing I regret is probably not having a good enough relationship with the McCaskies or George McCaskey to have his number to call him and ask him, like, hey, you think we can, schedule the, or like push back the Brian Piccolo luncheon so that I can make it, but I don't have his number or anything like that. So, that's the only thing I really regret is about it.
All right, thank you for clarifying it. We will agree to disagree, Matt, but best of luck to you.
Yeah, you too.
So he doesn't know how to get a hold of the owner of the Bears, whose number I happen to have in my phone.
I saw him last night at the draft. I should have asked him about
You're telling me that Matt Forte doesn't know how to get a hold of George McCaskey, or he couldn't pick up the phone and call 295-6600, area code 847, which happens to be the Bears' number, and go, hey, this is Matt Forte. I need to talk to George. It's very important. Or I've had a bunch of conversations with Ryan Pace, as he said. Hey, Ryan, could you please talk to George and see if we can move the luncheon one day so I could be there? But he could get back 24 hours later for a paid appearance. It was all a bunch of nonsense.
Well, it does seem a bit inconceivable that the Bears' most valuable offensive player does not have the resources in this day and age to reach the chairman, if he wanted to reach a chairman of you know, the Bears or somebody in the front office. He did have Ryan Pace's number. They communicated earlier this season. The thing is that we're talking about this again today. And why are we talking about this again today? He made a choice to make it worse, to make a bad situation worse. He called you out. He wanted to, you know, debate you. You engaged in the debate, so it gets some more legs. It seems very, you know, kind of petty that he's, you know, identifying certain slights that he's perceived. You're a professional athlete. You're going to be exposed to criticism. You're going to be somebody that has to respond to criticism in a professional way. I don't consider the way that he responded to that real professional, but he's entitled to that. I've criticized Matt Forte in the past. Other people have. He's a sensitive guy. You have to give him credit for being a tremendous football player, tremendous in the community. This was uncharacteristic of him to blow off. Blow off is maybe too strong in his mind, but to skip an awards ceremony where he's being honored for his community service and his teamwork and his team-oriented beliefs. So I think that, you know, he's a guy that doesn't forget these kind of slights and certainly had it in for you, whatever. But he's probably best. Everybody's probably best moving on.
Yeah, he also he said that I slandered him by saying that he didn't show up to the event and that the only flight he could get was at 6:50 in the morning and he's not going to wake his young daughter up to put her on that. So you couldn't fly there and back in the same day. It's a luncheon. Tell your wife, stay in Florida. I'll be back. Fly, come back, and then leave the next day with the family. There are so many ways he could have handled it, and he didn't. 312-235-2525. Chris in Calumet City. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Captain. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up, buddy?
That's great. I just want to say, I'm not going to elaborate too much on the Kevin White pick, but I just want to say he's not a potential bust. He's not a Darius Hayward Bay type of guy. I think, like you said yesterday, he's ready to work. He's talented enough. I think you can play him in any position possible. You know, the guy's got talent. But today's draft, I think nobody is not talking about this. I think the Bears should go after Bud Dupree. I mean, the guy is a freak. Like 265, 270, run like a 4.5, something like that. They can't get him or Collins, the guy from Alabama. Pair him up with Roll. I think it's just a nasty combination, you know. And I just heard the Matt Forte whole comment. I think, the guy is a pretty sensitive guy. Maybe that's why he can't run between the tackles.
Oh.
That's all I got to say.
All right, Chris.
Thanks. Appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you.
You knew that was coming.
312-235-2525. Corey in Chicago. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Hall? I just wanted to say I'm a huge, huge, huge Matt Forte fan, but what he did yesterday was totally inaccurate to say, like, the media was slandering him and all this other type of stuff. I mean, the bottom line is if the award just wasn't that important enough for him to be there, because it just said anything besides the rant that he went on and kind of attacking Cap. I just never seen Matt Forte in that particular situation go that route. So just really disappointed in that.
Appreciate it, Corey.
Corey, it's just,
and he's a hell of a football player.
He just should have said, absolutely, you know what, in retrospect, I probably should have made more of an effort to be there. I respect everything that the Brian Piccolo Award stands for, and I made a decision that I probably
wish I could do it over.
Yeah, regret. Yeah, and that would have been a more humanizing effect than going after people that have criticized him with a lot of you know a lot of fire because he's in town today. Is he in town today for an autograph signing?
He is.
So it
been
it
here
does,
since Wednesday.
It does make a lot of his explanation. How the things that he did say in an interview on the Score Cap that are, I think, interesting to Bears fans and probably relevant.
He said he will not hold out.
He's not going to hold out. He did ask for a contract extension, and Ryan Pace, or talk about a contract extension, and Ryan Pace indicated they weren't going to do that. I think that's encouraging on both sides. Number one, you're not going to have to deal with the holdout. And number two, you've got a general manager that is locked in and understands that he doesn't need to buckle to pressure, even though they got a guy who's being paid well. $8.2 million, if this is slandering him, you're being paid well, Matt Forte.
Yep.
You should get in line and understand that this is all part of the process, and you are not being unfairly treated.
All right, 312-235-2525. Corey, thank you for the call. Also, we do have breaking news. It's not really sports-related, but it led to something in sports, and I feel we do have to address it. We had the Baltimore Orioles situation where the White Sox played in front of an empty stadium and had two games postponed. This morning, breaking news out of Maryland. All six officers involved in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray have been charged, one charged with second-degree murder.
Wow.
That is enormous news. That's from the state's attorney's office just breaking seconds ago.
Yeah, watched the press conference yesterday with the mayor of Baltimore, and you know, obviously the emotion's raw. This is a bit of a surprise. I'm not gonna, you hope that the reaction to this is peaceful and does not lead to more violence or uprising or riots.
Correct.
In a hope city that's had enough.
They move on now.
Yeah.
312-235-2525. Dick Butkus joins us in about 10, 15 minutes, along with Luke Kuechly and Matt Butkus. They will all be in our studio, so we're looking forward to talking football with them, talking about Dick's commitment to the I Play Clean Foundation that he started.
I want to see what he thinks of the draft. I want to see what he thinks of today's pick that he's going to announce. I'd like to talk to Luke Kuechly about playing for Ron Rivera, his new teammate Charles Tillman, and what he thought about the Panthers, who went out on a limb. You know, we could talk about the rest of the draft in the first round because it was interesting. The Panthers go for an undersized linebacker who's going to play alongside Luke Kuechly. So
interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is.
312-235-2525. Let's grab Jerry and Hammond.
Okay.
Hey, Jerry, what's going on there, buddy?
Good morning, Cap. First off, I want to say I love you guys.
Thank you very much, Jerry, for watching it.
Thank you. I have one comment about the draft and one question. The comment I have is I think that the Bears should have gone after Todd Gurley at number 7. Last year, Matt Forte's contract, you won't get anything for him at the end of the year. You could have tried to trade him and already have a running back in place with Kadeem Carey, see how they worked out. That's my comment. My question is, do you think the Bears should go after Randy Gregory at 39?
It's a good question, a good comment. Just to close the loop, Shaq Thompson was the linebacker I was referring to, is going to play for the Panthers. Randy Gregory is a guy that would scare me, not only because of his positive test at the combine, but a guy who has had rumored to have psychological issues that you don't know what you're getting when you're drafting a guy like that. There's a reason that a guy recognized as maybe the best edge rusher in the draft dropped out of the first round. I would be very wary of Randy Gregory. As for Todd Gurley, the Rams took a chance on a guy that has probably been called the best running back in the draft since Adrian Peterson when healthy. That health is a big concern to me. I think you're coming off an ACL injury. You don't know what you're going to be after that. Medical science is a good predictor these days, but I still would have some concerns that I would have probably kept away from him at the number 7 overall pick for those reasons, Jerry. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a good weekend, buddy. 312-235-2525. LaTanya is in Woodstock. Hey, LaTanya.
Hi, LaTanya.
Hello.
As
far as I'm calling about the Matt Forte interview.
Yeah.
I don't agree how he came at his critics, but I'm a very family-oriented person, and I think my family is first. So I probably would have missed the award ceremony also if it came to my family or my children.
Well, he didn't. That was not a
reason that he had to miss this because they were at their place in Florida. He could have flown that day and come back to Florida and then taken them back to Chicago. There were a million ways he could have handled it, LaTanya.
Yes, I agree also because I'm back and forth myself from Chicago to Woodstock twice a day.
There you go, because you put family first. LaTanya, thank you for the call.
Thanks, LaTanya.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. 312-235-2525. Dick Butkus, Luke Kuechly, and Matt are here. They will join us after we take a timeout. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, the best customer service you'll ever get, shop Apt, A-B-T, apt.com. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro, Apt-pleasing people since 1936. Take time out. We'll come right back. Cap and Haw with Dick Butkus, Luke Kuechly, and Matt Butkus is next.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Welcome back, Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. He's David Haw, David Kaplan, and we've got football royalty in the studio. Very cool. The great Dick Butkus is here, his son Matt, and Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers. Great to have you guys here. Dick, welcome to the studio again.
Good. Welcome back.
Good. Always good to come back here.
Good, good set of linebackers here. Offense, Matt.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, Matt, you could be the guy taking up two blockers up front, and then we'll let these two guys flow to it. Dick, you're going to make the Bears' second pick tonight. Do you already have the card in your pocket? You
know who we're taking? I'm going to actually make the pick on my own. whatever is on that card, I'm not going to read.
Who's going to tell you you're wrong?
Yeah,
it's going to talk you out of it.
So I'm telling you to watch because I got something.
And you would lean toward defense, probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd do that.
Okay, so last night you walk in with Mayor Emanuel at the NFL draft. How would you describe your experience last night and just the whole reception to the draft, Chicago on the national scene?
Well, I think it was kind of over the top. I mean, what am I walking down that gold carpet for? But anyway, it's really an indication of the city. What it represents as far as, following football. You got the Chicago Bears, the founding franchise. And the mayor was, I kind of steal his line that I overheard him telling everybody, the press, is that he wants Goodell to ask Goodell one question when this is all over. And the question is going to be, why haven't you been here before? Because, it's, 100,000 people. Around the area, and it's great for the city. The people behave themselves, and everything was, a real good showcase for the city. And this draft is getting to be
big
huge,
deal,
big, real big.
All right, Luke. So you're a professional football player. Life is different than when Dick came into the league. Do you remember your draft day? And are you still excited by the draft to see not only how your team does, but the whole process?
Absolutely. When I was coming out, I stayed at home. I didn't go to the draft. I was back with my family, and I was able to enjoy it with them, which I thought was really neat. I wouldn't have been able to get everybody I wanted to at the draft, so I was able to sit at home. Family, friends, both my grandmas were there, so that was awesome.
So you understand Jameis or Marcus not going?
Yeah, I think it was an opportunity to just, it was a long process. You take a lot of visits. There's a lot going on, and I was able to relax a little more at home than being there. What if I don't get picked? I'm gonna sit here. I got to do this. I could do that. Versus, I'm in my basement. I'm sitting in my house. I know where I'm gonna be. And for me, that was very, very relaxing. I enjoyed that part.
So what you're saying is you didn't wear the kind of shoes that Dante Fowler wore last night. The
gold studded Christian Louboutin slippers.
I didn't even see them. I was in the air.
You gotta see the picture.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out.
It was really something else. The way these guys dressed today, Dick. Did you have any of those kind of suits back 50 years ago?
I had to scrape together some clothes to go to New York with. It's unbelievable. I told Shelton when he came in with the Polynesian look. I said, man, if the Bears get you, buddy, you gotta be careful. In the winter, you won't be caught wearing that. Yes, it's going to get cold.
So what did you think the Bears? We've been talking about it all morning. Kevin White on the board. I think the Bears had him, you know, the top player on their board, one of the top six players in the draft. They drafted seventh. It's a wide receiver. You know, Dick, from being around here, and Luke, you know, from playing the Bears, they have defensive issues, but they went with the game-breaking wide receiver, a guy with a high ceiling. What did you think of the pick?
Well, I really thought they're going to go for defense because of John Fox and what he's trying to do with the 3-4. There are some excellent guys who can really plug into that defense. But then you can, when you stop and think, when they get the receiver, he's the real McCoy. He's the guy you can put right in there, and it's just not long bombs. You know, it's like somebody said, like 40% of his catches were from screenplays, and that's an added weapon on offense. So, you know, they got plenty of rounds to go to get defensive people, because I think this class is pretty loaded. I think all 32 of those guys, you can plug them in, and they're going to be around for 5 or 10 years.
And Luke, you guys drafted another linebacker, Shaq Thompson, a guy who is maybe considered a little undersized, but played outside linebacker, quick, fast, ideal for your defense.
Absolutely, it's a guy, you know, a guy that can run. That's one thing that, you know, I've heard about him. You know, since we drafted him, I've read a little bit about him, and he kind of played all over the place in college. He's got a diverse skill set, which will be good for us. He came in on a visit a couple weeks ago. I met him. He seemed like a good dude. So, you know, that combination right there is off to a good start. And I think anybody that can do a lot will be a good guy on our team to have.
When you look at the ratings and you see all these, this guy's rated this guy. You were the 44th rated linebacker in high school coming out. And here you are, the defensive player of the year, the Butkus Award winner out of college. Some of that stuff is nonsense, correct?
Oh, I think yes and no. I think, you know, for certain, you know, coming out of high school, I think the guys that are rated higher are the guys that are better at that time. You know, the bigger guys, faster guys, stronger, maybe have matured more at that age. And then, you know, that's just how they're ranked when they're younger. And then obviously college guys get bigger, faster, stronger, and then there's the next jump. So, you know, I don't necessarily I think it really matters where you get ranked. It's kind of what you do once you get to college and where you can kind of grow from there.
They open the door, you kick it in.
Just got to get your foot in and see what happens.
So, Dick, we kidded that maybe you will be involved in the process of selection today. You're going to announce the name. You're not going to be involved in picking the name. But if you had to advise Ryan Pace, what are you thinking today?
Oh, what are the Bears? I would think get somebody for the new 3-4 defense. Either a cornerback, of course, that Michigan State kid's gone, but there's I think, is the Alabama safety
Landon Collins
Cooper.
Still
Orlando
there?
Collins.
Yeah. Randy Gregory, a guy who's considered the number one edge rusher, has some psychological issues. You don't know what those are, but this
what
is
are they?
Cryptic.
I met the guy. He seems to be a good guy.
He failed a test at the combine as well, which I think has raised some red flags.
Huh. That seems like a nice guy to
me.
What do I know?
Yeah, he's in town at the event. And he's one of the more talented players, or highly ranked players.
The guy I wanted the Bears to take was Leonard Williams. He comes from your old school, USC.
Yeah.
They almost got him. He's there at 6, and the Jets grab him. I think the Bears take him if he's there. What was your take on Leonard Williams?
I think he's a big, huge, mobile guy.
I thought he was the best player in the draft defensively.
When we were talking before with the Iowa guy.
He went
early.
He went fifth. What was your take, Luke, on Leonard Williams? He's a monster.
I just hear we got a couple USC guys on our team. That's all I hear about. You know, Leonard Williams is. You got a guy, Wes Horton. He's a defensive end for us. This is going into his third year already. And so I guess he played with Leonard. He said he's a beast. He said he's a good dude. So I watched BC play at USC. We were at the hotel. I don't know who we were playing that week, but this guy kept popping up, and I didn't know who he was. And then as he kept popping up, they talked more and more about him and that he was the best inside guy and that was going to be coming out. So, you know, you get to hear about him quite a bit, and he looks like he's going to be a great player.
And so all these guys who were drafted last night, first-round draft picks, guys who have heard for the past 24 hours now how good they are, how much is expected of them, the high expectations. You're a veteran now. You can get Shaq Thompson in a room. You can talk to a rookie. If you had to give them advice about how to come down from this high and also to be a professional, what's the best advice you would give a first-round draft pick?
Come in and work. I think that's the biggest thing. You come in, show up on time, listen, be coachable, and understand you're the younger guy now. And, you know, that's the thing. I kind of liken it to high school to college. You know, in high school, you're the best guy on your team. Everyone knows who you are. And then when you go to college, you got to start all over again. And that's kind of how it is from college to NFL. You know, those guys are going to be the new guy on the team. It's going to be a whole new surrounding. But I think if they come in with the mentality of, I know I'm new, I'm here to work, I'm here to work hard, I'm going to be coachable, I'm going to listen to the older guys, and I'm going to be on time, I think everything just takes care of itself.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We've got Dick Butkus, Luke Kuechly, and Matt Butkus in our studio. Also, Dick's Foundation, I Play Clean, everything that you guys stand for. Luke is behind all that. We'll talk about that as well. It's Cap'n Haw at Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
Tribune Tower Chicago. This is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
All right, welcome back to Cap'n Haw on Comcast SportsNet. Luke Kuechly, Dick Butkus, Matt Butkus are in our studio. All right, we'll get back to draft in a little while. You won the Butkus Award. You're in college, and Dick and Matt show up and present the award to you. Now, he's synonymous with the greatest linebacker ever. What was that like?
So our end of the year banquet. I remember where I was sitting, what chair we were in. We were right by the door. You guys popped in right behind me. So, you know, we had our end of the year thing. They maybe showed a little highlight tape, and they talked about the season. And then Coach Spaz, our coach, got up and said a little something about I don't remember what he said, but he said about something about, oh, Dick Butkus was a great linebacker. And then all of a sudden I hear some rustling and the door pops open, and they're just beaming down on me, and I look up and they're just both looking right at me. I didn't know what to do, and they presented me the trophy, and you know, it was really cool. I think the best part about it was that my dad was there, and he really, really enjoyed that, appreciated it, and I think it was cool that I was able to share that moment with
him. That trophy's heavy.
Yeah, no. They gave it to me, almost dropped it.
Dick, there's a throwback element to Luke's game. I think, the athleticism speaks for itself, the productivity speaks for itself, but there's a throwback element to his game that you probably respect and that makes him sort of unique among linebackers.
Yeah, he just makes plays. You know, he's all over the field making plays, and that year that he won it, it was, you know, no contest. A lot of times we, you know, it's pretty close in the voting and everything else, and everybody wonders or thinks that I have a vote, but I really don't, because when we first started this 30-some years ago, I was always traveling on Saturday, so I never really got to see a lot of the players. So a good friend, Hub, put together some 51 guys from general managers to scouts who, you know, you never hear from scouts, but they're out there working, college coaches, general managers. So I think, and what really turned me on about that was because one time, I don't know where it was, but I heard a newspaper guy or somebody on ESPN say, you know, with all these all-star teams, he says, I just have my wife pick them. And I'm like, what? You know, you're too busy to select something that might, you know,
impact somebody's life.
Some kid, yeah. So I said, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to get some real guys that know about it. And, of course, you know, when we get down to the semifinalists, our poor guy Ron Arp with the foundation, he gets bombarded by, you know, if a guy's not picked, the final three, I mean, they must get the whole school to send hate mail to us. But you know,
it is what it is. Goes with the territory.
And that case was this year with Kendricks from UCLA. I mean, the guy led in tackles, but he didn't make first team Pac 12.
So with all the pressure, you're not 290 pounds. You're a smaller guy. When you have all this pressure with steroids out in the world, and you've always said, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to work my tail off. I'm going to eat right, work out, and I'm going to do the best I can, and it's good enough to be NFL Defensive Player of the Year. How much pressure is there to keep up with all these bigger, faster, stronger guys?
Well, you know, my thing is, my parents always said, you got to do it right. You got to do it the right way. And, you know, that's whether that's you're in school, you're doing stuff in the community, or you're playing football. I think doing stuff the right way in the long run benefits you. And for me, my mindset playing football is always to work as hard as you can. And if I can work as hard as I can consistently, I'm going to put myself in the best position to win. And the people that I try to surround myself with, that I work out with on a broad span, I think are the same mindset as me. They don't into doing stuff that's, you know, technically illegal or is going to help you in the short run, but ultimately is going to it's going to hurt you. So for me, it's do it the right way. The right way is playing by the rules. And for me, you know, that's how I've kind of always done things.
When you came out in 2012, ninth overall pick, your first rounder, high expectations, comparisons were made to Brian Urlacher, another great linebacker in Bears history. You're with the best one ever here, and Brian certainly has his own carved his own niche in Chicago. Did you ever meet, do you have a relationship with Brian, and how much did you try to maybe emulate guys like him or even him personally?
Oh, you know, I was growing up, he was one of the guys I watched. You know, it's guy, big, strong, made a lot of plays in Chicago. You know, the history of Chicago dating back to Dick. And for me, you know, I've met him a couple of times. I've really never had an opportunity to have a conversation with him, but I've watched plenty of games that he's played in. We got a couple guys on our team that are from Chicago. And
you play for one.
Yeah.
Another
yeah,
good Coach Rivera. Another good Coach Rivera, even linebacker. Too, yeah.
So the Charlotte area definitely has some connection to the Bears, and I think that's, you know, that benefits me, especially with having Rivera as my coach. He coached Brian, and he can be like, all right, this is how you do things, this is how Brian does things.
Has he used him as an example to you and say, okay, this is the way Brian used to
yeah,
do it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we play some cover two. That's what Brian excelled at. He was able to make a lot of plays in the middle of the field, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. And so, you know, he'll be like, Brian was able to do this, why don't you try to do that? So I'm trying to incorporate that into my game as well.
When you try this I play clean foundation, mm-hmm. there's been so much with the baseball players, with the steroid era. The young man, you befriended his father, the son, the boy that died, Hooten.
Yep.
How was it received when you first got started? Now everybody seems to be anti-steroid.
Yeah, it was a tough sell, and it still is. It, you know, the question that you always get is, you know, high school athletes really don't know why it's dangerous. You know, they because my cardiologist has done studies of these weightlifters and powerlifters, and every one of them that took steroids has a heart about 30 years older than it should be. And so when you talk to a high school kid about that, it's like, nah, I'm not going to be like that. You know, I could take this stuff and you know, whatever. But, you know, they're really cutting short not only a chance of playing at the next level by getting caught or flunking a test, but they're really jeopardizing their health because taking steroids at the developmental age of a teenager in high school is a dangerous situation. You know, not only because of coming off the stuff that you have a tremendous amount of depression and that leads to suicide, and I know over a dozen or two parents that had that happen. Kids coming off and they get tremendously depressed. So, but see, the big carrot is the pros and the money mm-hmm. and this and that. And a lot of, and let's face it, a lot of parents can't afford college. I mean, and we come across cases where not only the coaches provide some steroids, it's even parents sometimes. And I'll end with this one note. Our very first high school meeting at Soldier Field must have been 4 or 5 years ago. We get a letter from this young man's mother saying that she was so proud of her son because, you know, he wasn't very big, but he had a chance to go to a junior college, and they, I mean, almost flat out said, look, you know, we can build you up and you with our supplements, and almost telling them that, you know, if you take steroids and get bigger, you can get a scholarship here. And he turned it down because he was sitting in the audience of our little presentation about the dangers of steroids. And she says, and we certainly could use the scholarship, but she was so proud of him that he turned down the scholarship because, you know, he wasn't going to go in there and do something dirty. And so, you know, I like the other night, Wednesday night, the Bears hosted, you know, maybe 150 local football high school kids. And, you know, and I, afterwards I'm driving away and I'm thinking, you know, what, you know, did we do any good? You know, did these kids just, you know, see this old guy talking about this crap and, you know, well, that ain't going to happen to me. And I, you know, I can get bigger and stronger and faster. But so I don't know. Like someone says, if it just helps one kid, okay. You know what I mean? So, and the whole thing is that football's been awfully, awfully good to me. So I don't want to see people destroy the game with steroids. I mean, come on. I didn't use them, and I seem to have gotten along okay. If you work hard, like Luke said, and just, you know, you work hard, you eat right, and play with an attitude, you can do the same thing.
Luke, as a current player, Dick as a Hall of Famer who played in a different era, but do you think that the league does enough to police the PEDs and steroids, and do you think that they could go even further with HGH testing and things that would eliminate the trend that you're trying to, you know, kind of stop?
Well, I'll say this, that from our experience, most of the NFL players do not want it around. I mean, they want to play on an even field. And so whether the – I assume the league is doing the best they can. And but what is it? When you see a guy that's been suspended, he has flunked a test 4 times or 3 times. I think that's got to tell you something. When they announce someone is suspended, he's flunked the test at least 3 times. Before they just suspend them. So, and I guess that number is way down, so maybe it is working.
What do you think, Luke? Do you think that this is an issue based on, you know, and I'm not asking you to reveal stuff about your teammates, but I imagine that there are things that you're aware of and how prevalent this is, and do you think the league is doing enough?
Yeah, I think, you know, like Dick said, I don't think you talk to majority of the guys in the league. They want everything to be the same. They know you don't want guys on different levels. Everyone should be the same, and then it comes down to skill, work ethic, and you know, X's and O's. I think that's what football really should be. Who works the hardest, who's got the best players, and who's coached the best. And, you know, I think they're doing a great job and trying to monitor it, and that stuff is always evolving, so they're just trying to keep up with the trend. And I think, you know, they're doing a great job of testing and making sure everybody's doing their job.
Luke Kuechly, Dick Butkus, Matt Butkus are in our studio. What was it like going around the draft yesterday, having your dad, who's the greatest linebacker ever, and the guy who was the defensive player of the year? What's it like for you? Because you were a big-time player at you played at USC.
No, it was great. I'm first draft I've ever been to.
First draft for you, Dick?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Because when you got picked, you didn't go to the draft.
No, you didn't go anywhere. No, they just...
They called you.
Hid you in the hotel room.
No, they had me the night before. I knew I was going to get drafted and where. That's because, you know, it was the war going on with the AFL.
So they hid you.
So they hid people. But no, the Bears didn't hide me. They were just flat out, you know, I committed the day before the draft. And I'm like, how did they know they're going to draft me? But it was all rigged. I mean, everybody knew where they, you know, because of the war. So they said, like, okay, like, you know, say Green Bay, you say, you know, well, we want to take, like, no, you take somebody else, and we got.
It's unbelievable.
So the first conversation you have after becoming a Chicago Bear, the first conversation you have with George Halas.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, it went fine. I actually, you know, George Allen took me right in and started showing film and telling me, you know, what you know, over and under is and all that, and I'm just guessing. I don't, you know, I just played regular defense and ran around, made a bunch of tackles in college. Now he's telling me, you know, what's this? He'd show it to me, and then he'd mix it all up, and, geez, I'm guessing wrong and everything. I don't, Jesus, this is a little bit more than just running around.
So
there's things I got
to
do.
The Packers wanted to take you.
No, I was just using that example. You know who really wanted it is the Jets.
The Jets wanted.
The Jets, Denver was the one. But like Sonny Werbun said, it was 20 minutes, you would have been a Jet because Namath's deal was hung up for a little bit, and they were going to trade their choice, their other choice, to Denver and just say, hey, you take somebody else, we're going to bring him to the big city. So,
do you remember where Mel Kiper had you rated on his big board?
No, there was no Mel Kiper.
Where did he have you rated?
I don't even remember.
Did you pay attention to that stuff coming out, though?
Not too much.
No?
Because then, you know, it's always changed, and then you start worrying about that stuff, and then it's
gets
in your head.
Oh, my God, this guy dropped me down in the second round.
I know. So I was like, look, I'm going to be here. I'm sitting in my house. I'm in my basement on the couch. Whatever happens, happens. And as long as I'm on a team by the end of the weekend, I'll be good.
Randy Gregory this morning, TMZ, just saying he's just devastated. Cannot believe he slipped out of the first round and is absolutely beside himself right now.
Well, you know who?
Because he's in Chicago. Came here for
the draft. Yeah, I know he was. That's just like was a Brady Quinn, where it really started.
Yeah, the green room moment.
I mean, that's I think that's so awful. I mean, a kid to go through that.
Actually, Aaron Rodgers was probably the first example. He was Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers, and Alex Smith with one. Aaron Rodgers was in the green room forever and finally went 23rd, 26th.
23rd.
Yeah, to Green Bay. So
crazy.
It's a long, agonizing night if you have to sit there and wait.
All right. We've got to take a time out. More with Dick Butkus, Matt Butkus, Luke Kuechly in our studio. Be right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
All right, welcome back, Cap and Haw. We've got Luke Kuechly, Dick Butkus, Matt Butkus in our studio. Dick will be making the Bears' second-round selection tonight when the draft resumes. Luke, what would you like to see the Panthers grab tonight? Is there a position you go, boy, I wish we could get one of those?
Oh, man, I'm a defensive guy, so always take defense. We got a guy in defense now, so.
Do you guys need receivers?
A receiver maybe or a.
Yeah, you need some receivers, I think.
Hey,
I think,
you know, one thing that was cool about this offseason, I think we addressed a lot of areas. You know, we needed tackles, so we went out and got a couple tackles.
We needed a cornerback, so you got Charles Tillman.
We got Charles Tillman.
What do you think about signing Pena, and do you know him at all? Because he is the guy that obviously Chicago is going to miss.
Oh, and I think the thing that's great for him is his just experience in the game, his leadership skills, he's a confident guy. He understands the game, and I think he'll be a good guy to just have on the team. And, you know, the thing that I think that really benefits him is the fact that he's played for Rivera, and Steve Wilks, our DB's coach, was with Charles and Rivera in Chicago. So there's already some familiarity there. They get each other, and I think he's going to be a great add to our secondary.
Hey, Matt, when you guys go out and present the awards, you show up to surprise Luke. You go to the high school, and you surprise that kid. What is that stuff like? You're walking around with, he's your dad, but to the rest of the world, he's Dick Butkus.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. I like... How it all started was, I guess, the Sun-Times, when he got the Player of the Year, they went to his house, and that's one of the only pictures he has from back then was the people coming to his house. So he had a great idea to surprise them, so we try to do our best to not tell anybody, but we do have to let an administrator know or whatever.
What is that like, Dick, when you guys surprise, whether it's Luke or somebody else? What was it like when you surprised him?
Well, we were sitting, we were right outside that door, and
about a foot from you.
Yeah, and we're just hoping that nobody lets the cat out of the bag, and we've been pretty successful. Everybody wants to work with us on that thing, and like he said, remember the high school sometimes had a Sun-Times Player of the Year
in
high school.
Yeah, basketball and football.
And I still have that picture with my parents and my head coach, and I just thought back, banquets and dinners and all that's real good, but it's almost like you're talking about here with the draft. I'd rather be with my family, mm-hmm. During the draft. And this is sort of like that. We get the parents and everybody to come, and they hide in the back, and we spring it on these kids, and you see the shock, and then you see their teammates come out from the back, and we try to make a show, a TV show out of it, but it's just hard to raise funds for that, so we just we do it, and we maybe film it, put it all together, and we send it off to copy to the kid and with the trophy, and see what happens. And it's getting to the point now where our high school guys are starting to get awards. I don't know what Manti, and there's a couple guys that are in line for
Manti Te'o.
Yeah. I mean, when we popped that on him in Hawaii, the Samoans, they were all balling. I mean, it was a trip. I mean, it was a trip
cool.
There.
You know, Dick, we have you here. So Chicago lost a great one last week. Doug Buffone passed away. Everybody who knew Doug loved Doug and has a story and makes him laugh. You were his teammate for so many years. You were a good friend of his. How great was the outpouring of affection for Doug, though, after he passed away? It wasn't just one of those things where you say nice things about somebody when they're gone. This was true emotion and heartfelt feelings expressed about a guy that everyone's going to miss.
Yeah, well, that's the way he is. I would get people saying, Doug would have been all pro, but you took all the press and everything else. And you know what? Doug was he never thought, oh shit, you know, maybe I should have, you know, I could be an all pro ball if it wasn't for Butkus or whatever. He was the opposite. He was happy for me, and he didn't care. He was just a team guy and did his job, and he was a good person, good people person. The only thing I told him for a while there at Wrigley Field in our old locker room, you know, those gym shoes he was wearing are stinking, like getting worse and worse.
This story.
And I said, you know, Doug, you got to get rid of those shoes. God darn it, it stinks, like, you know. And he pulls back some stuff behind his locker, and there's a dead rat. And I'm like, oh, that's what the smell was all about.
Some things never change.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Only at Wrigley Field.
Only at Wrigley Field.
That's why I... You know, that was my favorite place to play because, man, you know, a pro is supposed to be able to play in a prairie somewhere. You know, so, you know, you put a ball on the south end zone line and that thing might roll all the way to the north end zone. So with the pitch and painting it green because we practiced there and there was no grass, that's what a pro,
Luke, you
a real
Wrigley?
Pro's pro.
I've been there for a tour. I haven't been to a game, so I got to check that out.
Yeah, you got to get to a game, especially when the weather's beautiful. There's nothing like it. Luke, you've given back to the community. You're really focused. You're involved with Dick and with Matt, with the foundation. Is that part of your responsibility?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you have a platform and, you know, people want to listen to you for whatever reason. And, you know, it's a good way to promote some stuff. You know, I do some stuff with Charlotte. I'm working with these guys right now. And it's just an opportunity to talk about some good things that, you know, help some people out.
We've talked about you love being in Charlotte. It's a great market. I think it's a good market for professional athletes because it doesn't have the intensity a lot of the major cities do. We kind of kidded that Marcus Mariota going to Nashville might be a good thing for him because there isn't the glare that might be in Philadelphia or Boston or Chicago. How much is that is, you know, from a professional athlete standpoint matters in that you're playing in an environment that doesn't have the constant scrutiny, and how much does that weigh on a professional athlete?
Well, for me, it's really the only way I've known it. You know, at Boston College, you know, people were very respectful. We had a lot of other teams around us, you know, the Bruins and the Celtics and you know, the teams up in that area that really kind of ruled it. And then, you know, now in Charlotte, it's the market's a little smaller. You know, it's not a bigger city, but the people still love the Panthers. I think we have great fans, but at the same time, they're very respectful. And, you know, since I've been there, especially this past season, there's a stretch where we didn't win a game for quite a while, and people were still very friendly. They were very nice, very polite, very respectful. They still attended our games. They were still loud. We still had a lot of support. And then we started to pick it up as we made the playoffs. So it was not much changed. You know, the people treated us exactly the same. And that's one thing I really enjoy about Charlotte and the Carolinas is just people respect you. They love the Panthers, but at the same time, they're never negative or anything like that.
When I started here in 1995, I hosted Bears Post with Ron Rivera. He and Glenn Kozlowski. Now he's your head football coach. What does he like to play for?
Oh, he's great. You know, he's one of those guys that he loves football. You know, that's one of his favorite things. Him and his wife love sports. You know, and they're just fun to be around. He's not a guy that's, you know, always, it's for him, I think his agenda for him is I want to know who you are as a person. I want to get to know you and then we'll get to football. You know, obviously they're right up there, but it's not like he's strictly football and, you know, I don't care who you are or what you're about. It's I want to get to know you. I want to know who you are. I know all the guys on my team. I know what they're about. I know who their family is. Do they have kids? Are they married? And that's one thing that I really appreciate him is he's a person as well as a coach, and he really wants to know who you are and what makes you tick.
And I think he spoke to the feeling you talk about in Charlotte after he had the house fire mm-hmm. in the playoffs. I saw him at the Super Bowl, and he just described this the way the community helped him and they came together, and that those relationships that he has formed, not only with the football organization or players, with people in the community, they were the people that he knew helping him out, and he got to know the firefighters, and he got to know the people that reached out to him as he went through that and overcame that, and that was pretty cool.
That's just him. He's just a great dude, and that's really what it, you know, obviously his football resume speaks for itself, and he's a great football mind, but he's just a good dude, and just wants people to be happy.
So Dick, we're up on Carolina Panthers football. How about this offseason for the Bears? It's been pretty dramatic changes. You've got a new general manager, a new head coach, same old quarterback, but you do have now a new wide receiver. How would you describe the kind of transformation the Bears have undergone this offseason?
Well, I think they did something that no one really expected with George McCaskey, you know, pulling the plug on the general manager and the head coach and, hey, we've had enough, and let's turn it around, and here we're going to start new. And I think John Fox coming in, he's going to put in – somebody asked, well, what about the 3-4-3 versus the 3-4, blah, blah, blah. I said, what's the difference if you win, man? That's just, you know, go after it. If you got the material and he likes to play the 3-4, fine. You know, that's not written in stone that the Bears got to play a 4-3. So I think he's – the word I hear from around camp, everybody, you know, seems to like the changes with the coaching staff and everything else. But, again, I think it goes from – comes – from the top, which maybe was unexpected from the McCaskies.
Very un-Bear-like.
Exactly.
To pull the plug in the start.
And spend, clean everything out.
Right.
Which they needed
to do. I mean, they
do.
Did. I mean, from the strength coach, and I don't know, maybe in the trainers, and, you know, we were over there the other night, like I mentioned, and it's just a new attitude.
Okay, you said that football's been great to you. Football's obviously been great to you. If you have a son, do you have a son?
Nope.
Okay, if you had a son, Dick let his son Matt play, who played at USC, so he was very successful. If you had a son, would you let him play football? Because there's some guys come out and say no. And if you had to do it over again, would you let your son play football? He's built like a football player.
I think if he wants to play football, then let him play football. I think, you know, you got to support them in what they want to do, but you got to teach them the right way to do it. Obviously, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, but if he wants to play football, great. If he doesn't want to play football, then I'm not going to. If I have a son, I'm not going to push him to do it. I think it's going to be up to him, and I'll support him whichever way I can.
Would you let him play again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, later says that, you know, he's disappointed that he wasn't able to play football because my old man didn't let me or whatever. You know, you'll seek your level, I think. He'll go to a point where he can play okay, and that was the case with Matt. He was a you know, he was a very good high school player. I mean, Loyola, his school, was number one in the country in the USA Today. And then when he went to SC, it was a different level. And, you know, unfortunately, he's got my wife's short arms. So as a defensive player, it just wasn't to be. But he still played. He still practiced. He made great amount of friends with guys. And, you know, I told him, you should have went into coaching, because he would be telling, I could see him on the sidelines talking about, you know, what to do and everything else. So I know about the concussions, and it's a concern with young people or young parents, but if you teach them to play right, I would let them get, you know, let them do it. If something happens where they get a concussion, I think that's just like Adolfo Birch of the NFL, the way he explained it. You know, when you blow out a knee, okay, I'm out 6 weeks or whatever. Now it's the same thing. You know, you don't think, oh, geez, it's the end of your career. Now you get a concussion. All right, here's the protocol. You're out so many games, just like a torn knee. So the NFL is trying to correct all that stuff. And, you know, that's why they had these tackling clinics and everything else for the young kids. So, yeah, I would let them do it. Because, you know, after a while, if they don't like practicing and all that, they'll quit. And, you know, I could just think my brothers, you know, I'm the youngest of nine and the smallest of nine. And, you know, a lot of them guys, they didn't play in high school. And so they eliminated a chance of maybe going to college. But if it wasn't into them, you know, if they weren't into it, and they're all big, strong guys, like I said, one brother went all the way to the pros. So you got to give the opportunity.
Thank you guys for being here. Yeah, I'll see you this afternoon on TV. Yep. Enjoy your day in our great city. You're a Panther, but great to have you here.
We'll do. Thank you, Matt. Great to have you guys here.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take a time out. Check out iPlayCleanFoundation.org, correct? iPlayCleanFoundation.org. Or Butkus Foundation as well. ButkusFoundation.org. Take a time out. We'll be right back.